Blog Talk Radio.
Announcements,
but I do have a couple of that I would like to, from my home church, those of you that are local, if it applies to you, that if anyone, if anybody's listening locally, I don't know. Nevertheless, we are at the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, where my pastor is, Reverend Christopher Wade. Yours truly, I'm a deacon there. And, our church chairman, Deacon Harry Richardson, as well as my classmate and longtime buddy, Deacon Greg Holmes, you know, the deacon there at the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. And on the 18th of this month, we will be having the church Christmas dinner. For the flock of Antioch, as well as the community. We will be feeding the community. So we are asking everybody, it's not going to be a set-down occasion. Y'all know the COVID kind of stopped that up and everything, but nevertheless, we're going to have it fixed. Everybody with this kind of like drive-through, and they're going to get them a meal. Yes, everybody can get a meal that wants one. So that's on the 18th December, this month, 18th. Starts at 12 o'clock. And we're going to be there until we finish. And it's simply that. And we will be having in the traditional watch night service. Matter of fact, I heard my pastor say something that we might be doing a little change of scheduling. And so I can't give no specifics about that right now. Not at this Bible study, but hopefully the next Bible study I will have a little bit more information about that. Matter of fact, we are supposed to be having some candidates for baptism on that same night. So it's going to be kind of busy. Nevertheless, we are asking everybody that if you need anywhere to go, Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and we will be having service. So those of you that are local, you just come on down East Church Street. You know where we are located. And we'll be glad to have you. We also, in the new year, I will be speaking more of that. We're going to have a sort of like a one-night revival starting the new year off right, y'all, because like I said, COVID upset so many things. So we're going to have a one-night revival in the new year when it comes in, if the Lord sees us over, which I do believe we will in 2022, we will be having that. And that's just my church, y'all. Like I said, now we got other churches that perhaps got some stuff going on. I haven't heard anything, so I cannot speak what I have not heard. In other words, we thank God for the New Salem CME Church. They went back into the sanctuary. We did back on the first Sunday in November. And we just had services on this past Sunday, what a great service we had. Pastor Ernie, we preached a dynamic sermon. His theme was, "Whom do you say I am?" That's what Jesus asked his disciples. So we're just thanking God for all of y'all. And so that's about all the announcements I have as far as I can think right now. If anything comes up before the broadcast is over, I will relay it to y'all before the broadcast is over. Thing about the song that I wanted to shout out tonight, in other words, I wanted to say this, and I can't spend a whole lot of time on this here, but a lot of people call it a Christmas song, but it's really not a Christmas song. And I know it's gonna blow a lot of people's mind because they've been singing it for years, but they didn't know. For some reason, they didn't listen to the words, myself included. I learned this over time. But the song we're gonna reference tonight is Joy to the World. Joy to the World. The old favorite hymn that everybody sings at Christmas time. And they call it a Christmas carol, but it's really not a Christmas song. It is a second coming song, y'all. Listen to the lyrics. Read the lyrics, and you would see that it's not a Christmas. It's not the first advent. It is talking about the second advent of Christ, when he's going to come again. The second coming. That's what Joy to the World is about. Because if you read the lyrics, if you read the lyrics of the hymn, you can see very well it could be talking about now. Because we have not got to everlasting righteousness yet, y'all. I just want to throw that in for free. You can look it up, read it yourself. I'm quite sure that if you don't already know, I'm a man, you and Sister Jackie, y'all may know this here. Y'all may have heard it already, but it's really not. It's not a Christmas song, but it's been taken for one over the years, traditionally. Now, that's out of the way. Now we're going to move on. We're going to let the technology work for us tonight, y'all. We're going to be coming from Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to be coming from, Matthew chapter 7. I don't have my Bible. I don't need it. I don't need it. But I'm going to let the technology work for us tonight by letting it do the reading for us. And so y'all bear with me and go to, if you got your Bible, go to chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we will go ahead on and start it. If I can start it, it looks like to me I'm having a little trouble here.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Amen. That's enough, y'all. That's enough. That's enough. And I hope y'all heard it. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio as well, I'm looking at my phone because that's the way they get it, those that listen on Blog Talk. Y'all hear what Jesus said? Y'all hear what Jesus said? He said, thou hypocrite. Jesus used them strong words, especially when he was talking to those self-righteous people, them Pharisees, the ones that knew the law, supposedly. He was very stern with them when it came to this type of stuff. But if you look at it, when he said, thou hypocrite, it's Jesus now. You know, y'all don't want nobody to talk to y'all, you know, too hard because you get offended real easy. Well, you really got offended at Jesus a lot because Jesus did not pull no punches either. He said, thou hypocrite, first. Look what he said, first. Let us go on and set a theme, y'all, for this Bible study tonight. I wasn't going to do it, but like I said, when you're led by the Spirit, when you be led by the Spirit, you got to do what the Spirit says so if you're going to be led by the Spirit. Why dig a pit for your own self? That's theme tonight. Listen to it. Let me say it again. Why dig a pit for your own self? That's the thing. Now look at what Jesus said here in Matthew 7. He said, thou hypocrite. First, this is the first thing that we got to do, y'all. And see, this is what we don't want. This is what a lot of us don't do. This. Amen. No matter what I say, man, ouch. You got to say one of them. We don't do this first. We don't. He said first, you need to get the beam out of your own eye. And then you'll see clearly enough then, after you get that big old beam out your eye, how to get the little speck out of your brother or your sister's eye. Amen. Just listen to that, y'all. Just listen to that. That's what he's saying here in Matthew 7. He said, judge not. That's the thing. This way, this how you dig a pit for your own self. When you start running your big mouth judging other folks when you don't even know what time it is. That's what we do. Judge. We quit to pass judgment on somebody else, but fail to see. This is what Matthew 7 is all about, y'all. We are very quick. We are very swift to make judgment on other people. And to find out all the faults and see all the faults that they've done. But we can't see the mess that we done made. This is how come he said, fine, clean up your own act. John 15 told them, we can't do nothing. Only Christ can do it. Only Christ. But he said, first, clean up your own act. Okay, so Jack, I see where you say you back in. He said, clean up your own act. Then you can clean up somebody else. See, in other words, this is a major problem. This is a major problem that we have, not only in the church, but in society, period, y'all. We got other people trying to tell other folk what to do, and your business just to mess up is there. Some of ours is even more messed in a worse shape than the one that we're trying to give advice to. But nothing wrong with solid advice, but you got to be careful how you give it. That's what Jesus said. He said, first, get the beam out of your own eye. In other words, people, let me break it down to something that seeing some of them might be having a hard time with, the beam and the moat. In other words, why are you trying to get a splinter out of my eye and you got a big tree limb in your eye? This is what Jesus said. Now, you can imagine how that would look if you were to see somebody with a great big tree limb stuck in their eyes, and they over there trying to pull a little splinter out of somebody else's eye. My brother and sister, we dig a pit for our own selves when we do that. Judge not that you be not judged, because see, the same judgment that you judge, you with that same measure that you use against me, it's going to be used against you, and even greater, according to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if we look at Matthew 7, what you got to do to really grasp this thing and to really understand and get the gist of it, you got to go back to Matthew 6. What was going on in Matthew 6? Well, Jesus was talking about prayer and alms. For those of you who don't know what alms is, that's just giving. Jesus was speaking about prayer and giving. That's what he was speaking about. So now, he said, he made mention of those hypocrites in chapter 6 as well. He said, don't be like the Pharisees and be like them that when you give your alms, don't sound a trumpet. Oh, my Lord, they just messed up half of us right there. Because, you know, when we do something, we want everybody to know what we did. We don't give God no glory. We want to take all the glory and light on ourselves. But we big about it. Look what I've done. To get our chest all stuck out like we done did something. We somebody. No, baby. That's not humbleness. You got to be humble. That's what that was about. About prayer and giving it all. As you notice how Jesus told them that they were to pray. In other words, we even had an instance where one of the Pharisees had to come in and even puffing himself up, talking about, I'm not like this man who was a sinner, which all of us are sinners. See, that's the thing that we have forgotten about, y'all. We all have sinned. All have sinned. I don't know why we get talking about what we ain't never done. You're a liar. You did do it. How can you say what you ain't never done when we know you ain't fooling me? You can't fool me. We know that you've done something. Now, we all may have not have done the same thing, but it's something you done. Sin is sin. That's what Jesus was trying to get us to see. This Pharisee, he up there with his head in the air and all puffed up, talking about, I'm like, not like this public. They were very hated. I'm not like, I do this and I do that. I tithe. So what? It ain't your money no way. When you don't tithe, you're robbing God. It ain't your money no way. So that's nothing big to talk about. But at any rate, Jesus said, this man, that this here Pharisee was all standing over with his chest stuck out, with his head up in the air, the little man that he was talking against, so the man wouldn't even hold his head up. But he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man went out of the synagogue more justified to his house than this man that did all that boasting about what he was doing. This man went more justified. He that humbles himself shall shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be brought low. Better mind what you're doing. So it's not surprised me when I look at chapter 7 that came right behind it, and Jesus said, judge not. Because of what he had just got through talking about. About prayer and giving. They work together, y'all. Some people, they want you to do all the giving. Matter of fact, I say, Hammer Man, you seen the video I did not too long ago. I was saying, you know, some people, they want to set back. They want you to do all the calls. You got to call them every day. You got to text them every day. How come you can't do it sometimes? But that's just the way everything got to be about me. Everything is not about you. The God did not build the universe around me. But just like I want you to always, some people don't even get up and say good morning. They start running their daily schedule about you. You ain't even saying good morning. But now you want me to start going around the circle doing all the things that you want me to do, and you ain't even so. People, when we get to saying about what we've never done, what we got some very bad amnesia. That's what I feel. We got some very, very bad case of amnesia. When we get to talking to people talking about what we ain't never done, The Apostle Paul has been coined one of the greatest apostles. Yes, he had been in the corner one of the greatest apostles. He was not one part of the original 12, but he came. He met the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul was a persecutor, y'all, of the church. Most of you know that. I ain't got to tell most people that, especially if they've been in the church more than 2 weeks. They already know who Apostle Paul is. But most people don't. You got to just tell the truth. Most people don't. But the Apostle Paul was on his road, the way, at that time, going to Damascus to persecute Jews. Y'all hold that now. Stick a pin in that. He was going to persecute Christians even then. Stick a pin in that. Because, see, this is what we're saying, judge not. But then we got people that want to say what they never done. Look what the Apostle Paul was on his way. He had got the mandate. He had got the paperwork. He had got the permission from the Sanhedrin, which is the chief of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They come together just like our Congress. A lot of people don't even know who Congress is. They be called it. I be like, who are y'all talking about? That's what, and don't you know, Congress is just the House of Representatives and the Senators together. When they come together, they form Congress. Any high school kids should know that. But in case some other people, y'all don't know that. But at any rate, the Sanhedrin Council is a mixture of the two sects of the Pharisees, the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those are two sects of Jews, two parties, two public, two political political people. And when they come together, they form the Sanhedrin Council when they come together. They had came together, which is the high priest being the chief of all of it. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, had received the paperwork, permission from the church, quote unquote, the temple, to go and get these Christians, find them, bring them back, however means possible. Paul didn't care who you were or where you were. All he wanted to know is, were you a Christian? Now, Paul persecuted the church tremendously. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was standing there when they stoned Stephen to death. He was the first martyr of the church, y'all. He was the first martyr of the church. Apostle Paul was standing there holding the coats of the one that stoned our brother Stephen. He was standing right there. And at this time, when he was on his way to Damascus, he had the orders from the priest that he could go and drag these Christians back, bringing them back to justice for teaching and preaching in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Jesus had a different plan for Paul. He stopped him, knocked him off his beast on the road to Damascus. The resurrected Lord did that. The resurrected Lord done. And Paul got his instruction of what he was supposed to do by going on into Damascus and go to the street called Straight and ask for a guy, Ananias, would come to him. That was another one of Jesus' saints. And we know, if you read the story, Ananias did come to the street called Straight. Paul was blind and couldn't see because of the glory of God, the blindness. He hadn't ate anything. He was fasting. He refused to eat until Ananias laid his hand on him in the name of our Lord and Savior, and he received his sight, also receiving forgiveness of sin. Ananias also baptized the Apostle Paul. He wasn't Paul then, y'all. His name was Saul, but he became Paul. Now, about this thing about judges. Now, how could Paul? Now, let's say he didn't do this, and then thank God Paul didn't do it, because I would have a problem with Paul had he did this, but he didn't. Paul always gave God the glory after the fact when he did stuff out of ignorance. Paul was sincere what he was doing, but he was sincerely wrong. They're like a lot of us. We can be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. Well, Paul did not go around teaching and telling people with his chest stuck out about what he had never done. Because he would have been telling a lie. Talking about what he had never done. He persecuted the church. And he even himself recognized it and confessed. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. But for what I did, I persecuted the church in the beginning. I was persecutor of the church. But here we are. We ain't nowhere near the greatness of the Apostle Paul. But nevertheless, you hear some of us talk. We always had it figured out. The Lord just gets off his throne when we open our mouths, talking about what we ain't never done and telling a lie. And the truth. How can you be so short memory? You must have very chronic amnesia that you can't know. Some of us get 2 or 3 days you came out of the club. Don't talk about what you ain't never done. Now, you can say that you ain't doing it now. And a lot of us, we all got baggage. We all got skeletons in our closet. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what this judging thing is about. You can't judge me, and I can't judge you. But there ain't no sense of me trying to set up here just because somebody asked me a few questions about something now that the Lord done delivered me from some of that mess I used to be in, and I got a little knowledge of it. I can't sit there and tell them about what I ain't never done. You are lying. God gets the glory for you telling the truth. Tell the people what you have done. You sinned just like the other woman did or the other man. When you've done something, you've done it. You can't sit there and talk about what you ain't never done. You can say, now, but the Lord delivered me. You can say that. And then God will get glory from that. But see, what we try to do, we try to get the glory on us ourselves by telling lies about what we have never done before. And you are a liar. You did stuff. The Apostle Paul couldn't say that he had never done anything when he persecuted the church. Regardless of how many sermons he preached afterwards, he still did that. That's a skeleton in his closet. And by him knowing that he done that, this ought to gave him more sympathy toward others that were yet far off. The people that ain't came to Christ yet, they don't come to Christ because of some of us, so-called people that already came to Christ. Because we get to bragging about what we done. And we didn't the squat. You ain't did nothing. You can't do nothing. You did something. What it is, you did everything you wanted to do. When you was out there in the world, you did everything you wanted and then some. So ain't no sense coming here with this here sanctimonious testimony to my what I ain't never done. You're fooling yourself. You ain't fooling nobody else no way. You only fooling yourself. God don't get glory out of that. A person, you can help them more better if you would just tell them the thing that you've done and how God delivered you. That's the way God get glory, and that'll help bring them people and deliver them But if you up there talking about what you've done, that don't go over too well, people. Judge not, that you be not judged. That's the reason why Jesus brought that right after the prayer and the gift, because he knew that most of us, we want to do something, we're going to blow a trumpet, especially if we're doing something great. And what we think great, we want to bring all the glory, and we want to turn the light on ourselves. But if every one of us would do some soul searching, and I do mean this, I don't apologize for this, every one of us got some mess in our corner. We got some mess in our closet, every one of us. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was one man that ever lived that never sinned, and his name was Jesus. So I don't know why we won't go somewhere and sit down and just be what we are. You know what you were. Thank God you're not that anymore. But don't try to take credit for something that God did, because you didn't do it. If God has delivered you from whatever it might be, you ain't got to tell nobody what it is. But you know. Don't get up there talking about what you ain't never done. Come on now, you got a bad case of amnesia. If you done it one time, you still guilty. I don't care. If you stole one banana, you still guilty of that one stealing that one banana. You can't say I ain't never stole nothing. Just because you didn't steal one, you still stole something. You stole that one banana. That was the same thing with David. And then we're going to get through with this Bible study tonight. This goes in conjunction with digging a pit for yourself. Remember when David, he should have been at war, but instead of being out there in the field at war with the other men, he stayed at home. He was on his castle top, and he looked down on from his castle top, saw a woman bathing by the name of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a very pretty woman. He saw that, and because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, here comes trouble. Now, he had this woman brought to him, to his camp. Follow me now, y'all. All of you that ain't never done that. Look at David. David had never done nothing either up to that point. Amen. But now, after he got the woman up to his camp, had a relation with this woman, and Bathsheba became pregnant. David's mind went into overdrive, went to thinking how he was going to hide this thing, how he was going to cover it up. He went and got Uriah, which was the Hittite, brought him in from the war, and brought him home, and hoping that he would go home. But God did not let him. See, y'all, God is not going to be made a fool out of. God would not let Uriah go home. Uriah stayed right there at the castle, at the palace of David, outside the palace. He camped out right there. He didn't even go on. God prevented him from doing that. Because, see, David had plans that, you know, you go home now, he'll think the baby's here. God was going to allow that to happen. So after David saw that he was not going to be able to cover this thing up, he had Joab. He wrote the man death warrant. He wrote Uriah's death warrant, sealed it, gave it to Uriah to take to Joab, his captain of the host, out there in the field. And what did that letter say? Joab put Uriah in the hottest battle. And when the enemy comes in on y'all, withdraw from Uriah, ensuring that Uriah will be killed. David did that, y'all. Yes, our beloved King David done that. What did he do? First, he took a man's wife that was not none of his. She become pregnant. Then he tried to cover it up, but God wouldn't allow it. Then he had the man, Uriah, killed. His own personal soldier, one that fight for him out there in the field, had him killed. But God saw that, y'all. There was just one time now. There was just one time. You never see anymore where David done this again. It don't take a one. God sent Nathan, the prophet, told him a riddle about the poor man one little ewe lamb, talking about that man's wife. And how this rich man could get whoever he wanted. Y'all, David could have had any woman in the kingdom. He didn't have to have Uriah's wife. Just like some of us, when we call ourselves sneaking around, I don't care if it was one time. That was still. How can David not say what he had never done? Now, you never see what he done that anymore. Thank God. David repented. He said, Lord, my sins are forever before me. That's read Psalm 51. Read Psalm 51. That's what he's talking about. In Psalm 51, he's talking about that great sin he committed, Bathsheba and killing of Uriah. He said, but my sins are forever before me. That one time. You see what he said? My sins are forever before me. David didn't get amnesia and start telling King Solomon, his son, that he did invest to have my Bathsheba. He didn't get up there and start telling King Solomon, I didn't never do that. I ain't never done it. You're lying. You didn't do it. It's not recorded that he ever done it again, but you did do it. We need to stop our mess, y'all. We don't give God enough glory. And what I mean by that, we have to give God all the glory. We need to stop talking about what we have. If you're going to say something, just say, I was once in that mess, but God delivered me. Thank God that God delivered me. People will have more inclination to believe you when they see that you are sincere and you ain't trying to put yourself up on a pedestal. Because it's God the one that does the delivery anyhow. Don't dig a pit. Thank God for y'all that came out tonight. And it's Advent. We're in the season of Advent. And y'all, we're in a greater season of Advent on Jesus' second coming because he is coming again. And we're looking forward to that. And I want to just share something with y'all tonight before I leave. I got to let y'all know that I told y'all I had put it up on the website earlier this morning on Facebook that I am changing another chapter in my life. I'm going to the next phase. And so, matter of fact, on my singles that I've had talked to, we had talked months ago. We are finally supposedly going to try to meet tomorrow. And we're going to get this thing together. I've already got a name for my little old bit of production company. I already got the name. Matter of fact, Hammerman, you already know what it is. I've told you in an earlier post earlier today on we've been submitting each other. And I will advertise it as I get done tomorrow. Because we're gonna set, I gotta set a lot of things in place. I'm gonna put down some ground rules and everything, but we are gonna be a Christian music production company. And that's part of the name. And I will so Jackie, you will see it when I post it. You'll see it. You'll know exactly what it. You'll know exactly what it'll be about. It's called Warm Christian Music Production. That's what I named in my new production company. And that Warm is an acronym for the name Walker, me, Anna, one of my singers, Root, one of my singers, like Tremaine Hawkins. And Mary, one of my other singers from the gospel trio, she's also going to be a part of this here production company. That's how come it's called Warm, Walker, Anna, Ruth, and Mary. Warm Christian Music Production. And like I said, we're going to have our first meeting with them on tomorrow. We're going to get everything organized and laid out. And we are right here in the Christmas season. Won't be much work we can do right now. Well, I'm just letting you know, it's coming. It's coming. So we thank God for all of you that stood by old Mitty Man these months and weeks and didn't bail out on us. Didn't bail out on us. So we just thank God for y'all. And with that said, I'm going to go on and get off this thing here tonight, and I'm going to end it in a proper way. And may the grace of God and love of Jesus, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with these our people henceforth, now and forevermore. Amen. I want to see y'all again next week if the Lord say so. I also have to teach my church Bible study on Thursday night, but it won't be on this, I will be getting with y'all by and by on Facebook. So y'all have a good night. Peace. Thank you for coming. See you next week. Let me see here. Blog Talk got in it.